Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord God, for this moment in time where we are in your house. We're nowhere else but in your house, tuned in, locked in, focused on you, God. We ask that you meet us in this place. Help me as a vessel, as an instrument, in order to deliver your word, your truth to your people. Holy Spirit, I lean on you. I depend on you. You are the teacher. You are an excellent teacher. And we thank you, Lord God, for the truth that you've given to us to live by, to grow in, to be changed by. Lord God, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. I ask that you meet the hearts and the needs of the people in this place today, Lord God. If anyone came in here burdened or broken, Lord God, I pray that you will mend them, you'll fix whatever issues concern them, Lord God. I pray for healing over your people now, restoration, strength, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Give somebody a high five as you find your seat. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How many people know God is good? God is good all the time. The saints used to say, and God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. I found the church. Amen. We are in the building. Praise God. So this past week, I was extremely grieved by what occurred this past Wednesday. And I was almost equally grieved by some of the reactions to what occurred this past Wednesday. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 12, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. And I'm going to be honest with you, church. If you can laugh and mock while others cry and mourn, then there's something wrong with you. You need to get delivered. You need to repent. You get your heart renewed. You need Jesus. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what political background you are. I don't care what you believe. If you rejoice at the death of a man who's a father, who's a husband, who didn't kill anyone, didn't steal anything, just simply was speaking his truth and his mind, then there's something wrong with you. And I see this division in our land, in our country, along the racial lines, where you have certain individuals who, they don't really care what you say. As if you're of a certain hue or a certain skin tone, you're pretty much an enemy. Or if you're of a certain political party, you're deemed as an enemy. And so we, as the body of Christ, we have a responsibility. And our responsibility, say my responsibility, first of all, let me figure out if you're a part of the body of Christ. All believers in Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Okay. If you raised your hand, you can say this. Say, my responsibility. Say, my responsibility is to live, is to speak, is to promote the truth. Let's say that one more time. And you can join in if you're watching online. God bless you. We thank you for joining us today. Say this with me. Say, my responsibility is to live, is to speak, and is to promote the truth. The truth. So we're going to talk about the truth today. This individual by the name of Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated. How many people, I just want to see a show of hands. How many people know about what happened this past Wednesday? Okay. How many people knew who this person was before Wednesday? Okay. All right, how many people in here saw the video of what happened on Wednesday? Okay, all right. So this person by the name of Charlie Kirk, 31 years old, I didn't know a whole lot about him. I had not seen a whole lot of his content online. Apparently, he was really popular online, and I didn't know a whole lot about him. I had knew of him. I'd heard his name. I'd seen a few small interactions online. But on Wednesday, when this happened, and part of the reason why we're talking about this is because the church and pastors have a responsibility to the congregation, to the body of Christ, in order to lead with truth and to speak the truth in love, as we just heard Pastor Shorter say. And we can't be people who put our heads in the sand, especially when it's involving our Lord Jesus. So you can debate about a lot of things. You can talk about a lot of things. They have a lot of opinions. But the minute you bring up my Lord, my King, I have a vested interest in that conversation. So since this individual claimed to be one of us, I have a vested interest to figure out what the truth is and what happened here. So I began to investigate. I went and watched some of his debates and some of his interactions. And I wanted to know, why is this person so polarizing? Why are there so many people that were so strongly opposed to him, hated him so much, calling him racist and all these other epithets? And why are there so many people who are, so sad and upset by this individual losing their life? And I went and did some research, and I watched some videos, and I watched more videos, and I watched a few more videos and debates. And after doing my research, Google, YouTube, that's how we research nowadays, I said, oh, that's why they hated him. Because he spoke the truth. That's why they called him racist. Because he wasn't afraid to tell black folk, your community is screwed up. To tell black fathers, 70% of young people in your community are growing up without the father taking care of his responsibility. He was speaking what we should have been speaking all along. See, my problem is when people don't want to hear the truth, I have an issue with that. Because there's nothing else I can do for you. Yes, black folks, we have a problem in the community. We have a cultural issue going on. We are the ones producing music that degrades our own women. We are the ones producing music that talks about and promotes drug use and drug selling and murder. I don't care if you don't like what I'm saying right now. Get offended. And it took a white man to stand up and say this stuff that some black man should have been standing up and saying a long time ago. We have an issue with taking responsibility for ourselves. And you want to get mad at the white man because he is speaking up and he's saying, yeah, it's a problem. You're scared. Black people are scared to go to their own communities in Chicago, in Louisiana, in Memphis, in Philadelphia. Don't tell me. You're scared of your own people because those are the communities where little kids are getting shot in the head, caught in crossfire because some little kid who didn't grow up with a father, who didn't have a structure in his life, who was raised on rap music that all it talked about was gunning somebody down and doing drills. Don't tell me. I know firsthand. And I thank God every day because, you know what? I was in the car with the gang members, with the gun, looking for the enemy, looking for the person who jumped the little homie. And I thank God every day, and I don't share this very often, but I thank God every day we didn't find them. It's by the grace of God that we did not find them. Because I might not be here right now. So don't tell me what is what with the community, because I see it, I know it. These young people, these young boys, they need fathers. And they need the truth of the word of God. They don't need another basketball program. They don't need another after school dance. They need the truth of the word of God. Preached in the home. By the man. That's why it's so important that we're doing this real dads. True dads. Because we need true dads. I had a true dad, so I was able to turn it around at 20 years old. Repent, give my life to Christ, stop living a double life, coming to church and then thugging on when my parents are out of town, running the streets with gang members. I almost showed you a picture of myself from back then, today. Throwing up gang signs. Hanging out with people who are in jail now. You know what? We have a cultural issue, and so Charlie Kirk is labeled as a racist because he says, you know what? Yeah, your community is screwed up. Y'all need to fix it. Y'all got issues. The numbers ain't lying. You're 13% of the population, yet you commit over 50% of the homicides in this country. You got a cultural problem. It's not a skin problem, it's a cultural problem. And guess what? We don't have to live like that. So I did that research and I said, man, no wonder they didn't like this guy. No wonder they said he was a racist. I think it's more bigoted, it's more racist.
That's right.
To pat us on the back and say, you know what, you just, y'all just some Negroes. Y'all just don't understand. Here's some subsidies from the government. Here's some free money. Here's some free housing for you. Because y'all don't know no better. That's bigotry. That's racism. Here's some free health care because we know you can't take care of your own family, black men. That's bigotry. That's racism. Here's some handouts because we know y'all ain't smart enough to climb the corporate ladder. We know. And we're not denying that there's historical socioeconomic impacts that have caused generational issues in the community. But at what point do we stop using that sorry excuse and we say, you know what? That ends with me. I'm gonna stop looking for excuses and I'm gonna make something out of my life. So Charlie Kirk, he was a professing believer. I didn't know that. I did the research and he was a strong believer in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that we talk about, that we sing about. And he, I believe, was not killed. He was not murdered because he was a racist or because he was a Republican or because he was a conservative. I believe in my heart of hearts, he was murdered because he believed in Jesus Christ and proclaimed the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why he was murdered. The white guy that murdered the other white guy didn't murder him because he hated black people or because he thought he was racist. He murdered him because he stood on the principles of the truth of the word of God. He said, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And guess what? He was right. Charlie Kirk, newsflash, he was right. A little boy, you can never become a little girl. Somebody lied. A little boy can never become a little girl. A man and a man can never join in holy matrimony according to God's definition of marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. He was right. Turns out he was right. Turns out he was telling the truth. And he was killed for it. Will you have enough courage to stand for the truth, even in the face of adversity and danger? Turn to John chapter 8, verse number 31. John chapter 8, verse number 31. John 8, 31. John 8 and 31, y'all got it? It says here, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, so these are believing Jews, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. In other words, if you do what I say, what I've commanded, you are my disciple indeed. You can call yourself a Christian the day that you decide to do the word and to follow and do what he said. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. Everybody say truth. Say truth. And the truth shall make you free. Why are there so many people bound under confusion, under delusions, under false pretexts, under false inclinations? Why are there so many people bound under drugs, under the weight of drugs, under the weight of alcoholism? Why are there so many people bound in sin? It's because they have not yet known the truth. It's not enough to hear the truth, because that word know there in the Greek means to literally, it's almost like intercourse. It's almost like you literally become intimate with it. In other words, you're doing the truth. You're experiencing the truth. And when you experience the truth and live in the truth and immerse yourself in the truth and becoming engulfed by the truth will set you free. There's no other outcome but for freedom to occur in your life. We as Christians have to be people who are dedicated, committed, 100% sold out to knowing and living the truth, not our truth, but the truth that is rooted and founded in the Word of God. Not our opinions, not our preference, not our culture, what we grew up with, not what aligns with the people that look like us and what the majority of them think and say, not what is popular in the day, but the truth of the Word of God, whether we like it or not. We have to be committed to living and purveying and indulging in the truth that's rooted in the Word of God, because it's the truth that will set you free. The truth will set you free. Romans chapter 1, verse number 25, I'm just going to quote it here. It says, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? We're living in this time. Who exchanged the truth of God? People exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There are people who have exchanged in our world, and you know them, and some of them are very close to you. They've exchanged the truth of God for the lie of the devil. They've exchanged the truth of God of what it means to have a family and to be a man and to be a woman, or the truth of God of what it means to live an upright life before God, the truth of God of what it means to fornicate and have sex outside of marriage, the truth of God of what it means to be honest and have integrity, and they've exchanged it for a lie. And as a result, the Bible says that they begin to worship the creation rather than the creator. And we see that. We see people who exalt the universe and exalt the stars and exalt the creation, exalt their bodies. They spend more time in the gym than they do in prayer. They spend more time worrying about how good they look so they can post another post on Instagram than they do it working on the inside, the inner man, growing in the Lord. And we live in a society that's so vain, it's so fleshly, it's so carnal, and it's because it's exchanged the truth of God, that God is God, that he is the creator, he is the founder of all things. If you exchange the truth that he is good and that those who seek him diligently will receive reward, they've exchanged that truth for the lie of the enemy, that you, if you put yourself first, if you just love yourself a little more, if you just exalt your own feelings above everybody else's, then you'll feel better, you'll have a better life. Exchange the truth of God for a lie, and that's why we see so much hell all around us. So much confusion, so much delusion, people who are just completely delusional, living in this fantasy world, calling evil good and good evil, because they've exchanged the truth, because the truth is what sets us in order. It's what sets us straight. The truth of the word of God is what'll get you off them drugs. The truth of the word of God is what'll get you back in that home, taking care of your responsibility, man. The truth of the word of God is what'll set that marriage back right and bring that thing back together. The truth of the word of God is what'll get your kids to stop acting crazy and get them acting right in the things of God. We need the truth. Say the truth. Say the truth. It's what sets us free. Praise God. I think it's important for us to understand. And I wrote this down as I was preparing to preach over the last 24 hours. I wrote this down because this incident that happened on Wednesday happened at a college campus. And I wrote this statement down because this world is so enamored with education. And many of us in here are, you know, we're educated or we're, you know, we promote education. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to be careful to not exalt education above the true revelation of who God is through his word. And the truth is that, and I wrote this down, God doesn't want us to just have smart minds, but he wants us to have sound minds. That individual who pulled that trigger was a smart person. They said he was very intelligent in math, numbers were his thing. He was almost better in doing numbers than he was in speaking English, they said. Very smart individual. But you can be smart. You can have a smart mind, but still not have a sound mind. That's why you have smart people. You have smart people in these universities. We really need to pray, and you really need to be discerning when you're sending your children to these schools, because we have very smart people in these universities who have very unsound ways of thinking. They are very smart in the things of this world. They've learned and they can process things, but their minds are not sound when it comes to truth. When it comes to what is right and what is wrong, when it comes to the standard of morality given by our Creator, their minds are not sound. And so there's an open door for them to have all these delusions and confusions plague their mind. And the sense of what is right and what is real and what is reality is lost. Because their smartness, their knowledge, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. And it makes you prideful. And it makes you think, I don't need God. And it makes you think we're almost smarter than God. And it makes you think that we are gods. And it can become dangerous to a people who have thrown God out of their culture. And in America, by and large, we've thrown God to the side. And as a result, we see what we see today. We see what we see today, where the president feels the need to, whether right or wrong, feels the need to send in military forces into a city because of the lawlessness and the crime that's going on. You can get mad at him all you want to. You can get mad at him all you want to. One thing my dad used to tell me when I was messing up in school and I was getting into altercations and fights and I was going through some things in school, he used to tell me, stop giving them a reason to say something about you. Well, is it true? Are you doing it? Well, then stop giving them a reason. It's like when Nathan was confronted when Nathan confronted David. You've given the enemy an occasion to blaspheme God. Why are you mad at the president for wanting to send the troops in? If the issue wasn't there, he wouldn't be able to say nothing. But this is the lack of accountability that we've adopted in America. In America, across all races. I'm not just saying, because it's a thing where I have to, instead of you dealing with and looking at the person in the mirror, shout out to Michael Jackson. Instead of you dealing with the man in the mirror, you'd rather point the finger at somebody else for your own dumb mistakes and dumb choices. You knew you had four baby moms already before you laid down with the fifth one. And now you want to be mad at the government because you can't get a regular job because you're scared they're going to take your money to pay for those kids that you laid down and had. Didn't nobody put a gun to your head? Didn't nobody make you do it? Didn't nobody ask you to do it? You did it on your own, bro. But you want to get mad at the man and at the government and at the baby mom because she want to put you on child support. Knowing you a little doggy, knowing you've been running around, sowing your wild oats all across town, acting a plumb fool. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. Accountability is rooted in truth. When we throw truth out, we have nothing to hold ourselves accountable to. We have to be people of truth, y'all. I don't care what you look like, if you telling me the truth, that something that if I got a stain on my shirt, and you telling me there's a stain on my shirt, then I need to go and address the stain on my shirt. This is so rudimentary. Stop getting mad at the white man. The white man is not your problem. You are your problem. You're the one having all them kids. You're the one that got kid, little Jaquan and Tyrone, and you're the one who allowing them to listen to all that music and hang out with them little bad kids and stay out way too late all night. And not go to church because they tired. And not having Bible study in your home and not teaching them how to pray and teaching them the fear of God. Teaching them how to respect for authority, including the police. Yeah, there's some bad ones. You're the one. And then they get popped, they get shot by the police and you want to cry, shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have been doing that. Shouldn't have been running them streets. Should have had respect for authority. Take it to court. You ain't gonna win it on the street. You're not gonna win that argument. You're not gonna win that battle. Teach your child to use wisdom and discernment and stop being a perpetual victim. You're not a victim. You're a child of the king. You ain't no victim. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're purple. You're not a victim. You're victorious in Christ. So we have to have sound minds. Everybody say sound mind. I want to read something real quick before we get out of here. Turn to Acts chapter number 7. I was going to read through 8, but I'm going to just jump down to Acts chapter 7, verse number 51. I love you, I promise I do. Acts chapter 7, verse number 51. Many of us know the story here in Acts. A gentleman by the name of Stephen, or Stephen, however you want to say it. He was not a pastor. He didn't have a congregation. He wasn't an evangelist, you know, specifically called into that. He wasn't an apostle. He was just a Christian. He just believed in Jesus. He believed that Jesus was telling the truth when he said that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. And he was bold about what he believed and who he believed in. And in Acts chapter 7, verse number 51, verse number 51, he had just got done addressing a court. He was put on trial for his faith because he was preaching Jesus. And he had just got done addressing them, and there was two main points that he made throughout the course of his discourse, and you can read in chapter 6 and 7 what all he was saying. We don't have time to go into that right now, but there was two main points that he was making, one of which is that they were disobedient to God. They were being disobedient to God, even though they claimed to be pious, even though they claimed to be religious and you know, observers of what was the Torah at the time and the covenant that they have, even though they claimed to be that good Jews or whatever, they were breaking the laws in many ways. And that was one of the main points that he was making throughout his discourse. And the second point was that Jesus is Lord, because he was being persecuted and others like him were being persecuted for proclaiming Jesus as Lord and as the way, the truth, and the life. And since the very beginning, the Bible tells us in Matthew, Jesus said that since the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. But guess what? I'm not scared of your violence. Jesus was not scared. Paul was not scared. Guess what? Since the beginning of our faith, it's suffered violence. It was a part of our birth as a faith. Thank God in America, we, for the most part, we've been able to not have to worry about much of that for our faith. And this is why this thing that happened on Wednesday should be so important to you as a believer, as a watchman, because that was an individual who led with their faith, who led with Jesus. Whether you agree with all of the things he said or not, I don't agree with all the things that I say. Whether you agree with everything he said or not is irrelevant. He led with Jesus. He brought Jesus to the political realm in a way that we have never seen before. He brought Jesus and he was, you know, many could speculate that he was probably on his way eventually to running for the presidency at some point. Bold believer with a large following that was growing. Praise God. So that's our brother. That was our brother that was killed on Wednesday. More of our brother than our biological brothers or our ethnic brothers. That was our brother in Christ. So our brother died, was killed for proclaiming Jesus. And Stephen here in verse 51, he goes in on him. Because the world will tell you, oh man, these people are mean. They just mean. No, we're true. We're telling the truth. In love, guess what? Love is not just, oh yeah, everything you want to do is okay. If you little Johnny feels like he's a girl, it's okay. That's not love. Love is telling you the truth, especially when it's going to destroy your life. Because the truth sets you free. And if I love you, I want you to be free. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You also resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. You resist the Holy Spirit. That's resisting the truth. That's the only unforgivable sin. You know that? To blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Right. To resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's he's tugging on your heart and you just say, I'm not. You say no to the Holy Spirit. Guess what? There's nothing else God can do for you. He already died on the cross. He can't go back on the cross again just to prove it to you. Which of the prophets, verse 52, quickly here. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, that is Jesus, and of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. He's telling them, you guys killed the prophets even before Jesus, and now you've killed Jesus, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. If you are in an argument and you get upset and you turn to violence, guess what? You've lost that argument. And that's why we see people who are evil. turning to violence because they are losing an argument. Guess what? The truth always wins the argument. You will know the truth will set you free. You will know the truth will set you free. The truth stands. This stands. It's gonna stand no matter what you say or what you think or what America chooses to do. Whether America is here or not, this truth is gonna stand. It's gonna stand. And so at the truth, at hearing of the truth, they gnashed at him with their teeth in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Spirit gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing. Hold up. I thought Jesus was sitting at the right hand. Jesus said, you know what? I gotta get up off my throne for this. I gotta get up on my throne for this boy. He looked up and he saw, and he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And later on, Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, he would write, I can't even be count worthy to be an apostle because of the things that I did to the church. Saul was involved in this. But even yet and still, God forgave him and redeemed him and used him. It's not too late for any of you or anyone you know. Verse 59, then they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Oh, what grace that is. Oh, what compassion, supernatural compassion that is to say that while these people are literally stoning and killing you. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In his most desperate moment, because of his faith, instead of seeing the stones, instead of seeing the angry people in front of him, instead of seeing the hate, instead of hearing the words, he saw. This is a testament to all of us. This is a rebuke to the church. When the world is against you and people hate you and when they're talking bad about you, and you got to look up. What do you see? I believe that young man, 31 years old, Charlie Kirk, I believe he saw the Lord. I am convinced that God reveals himself. There's certain people in history who God has used in ways like this, and we don't understand it. We don't get it. We say, well, maybe he this, maybe he didn't, maybe there was an open door, maybe this thing. You know what? God knows. He knows the truth. But Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In the world and all of this drama and all this mess and even all the good things that it has to offer us, even the life that we live, even the families that we have, ultimately, that's not our reward. This is not our reward. The Bible says that they overcame by the word of their testimony and they not even loving their lives unto death. We're talking about these guys. Like Stephen, and these guys who went through these difficult times of persecution in order to spread the gospel so that we can enjoy it in our cozy churches in America today. They laid their lives down, but they received a reward as a result of that that far outweighs anything this world could ever give them. So this is not a negative story. This is not a a loss. This is a story of how we should be bold. We should not allow this world to cause us to shut up and to cower and to be afraid. Guess what? Your life is in God's hands. He is your protector. There's nothing that happens to you without him being involved in making the final decision on it. We need to live every life, every day of our life to the glory of God. We need to be bolder, church. We need to be louder. We need to stop getting quiet when on the job they start talking about Charlie Kirk and people who believe in Jesus. And they start talking about how wrong they are. And they start talking about the pastor that's most recently on the news. We need to stop being quiet and shutting up and I'm just going to keep to myself. No, those are the opportunities. As uncomfortable as they may be, those may be the opportunities where you can be bold and stand up, just like Stephen did, just like this man, Charlie Kirk, did, that I didn't know. But you know what? I think he's going to have a greater impact in his death than he even could have in his life. And although that's not what we want, this is a fallen world, this is an evil world, ultimately that's what occurred. But ultimately the truth, like I said, the truth can't be stopped. It can't be silenced. And we are living and working and operating in the truth. I want to read a quote real quickly. That I found of his, and he said, "I'm more interested in what God wants of me than what I want of God. I'm more interested in what God wants of me than I want of God." And I'm gonna paraphrase a quote also that I heard of him. I was trying to find it on my phone as I was sitting there. I couldn't find it, but there was a quote where he said, "My number one priority is to tell the world about Jesus. My number two priority is to make sure that number one is protected." And that's why he was a political guy, but it was all for Jesus. Protecting religious freedoms, protecting the rights that we have as citizens to be able to assemble and praise our God. These are things that we benefit from. Whether you like the guy or not, whether you like that stream of politics, that stream of the political realm on that side, whether you like them or not, they're protecting your right to do what you're doing right now. There are people that are associated with them that are protecting that right. So we have to give honor where honor's due and just know that we are, as Christians, we're not on a playground, we're on a battleground. This is a battleground. The kingdom of God is being attacked. Was attacked. That was an attack on the kingdom. I take it personally. So what is our answer as the church, as Christians? When being a Christian is no longer cute by the world's standards. Close your Bibles. We have to ask ourselves, do we have that kind of boldness to stand for the truth? Do we have that kind of courage to stand for the truth? I'm asking myself, man, God, maybe I need to do more. This week, God was dealing with me. But in a lot of ways, we've been cowards as a body of Christ. In a lot of ways, we've gotten off course because it's easy to get off course, put it that way, in this world with all the things that concern us. But Jesus has to be, we have to keep the main thing, and that is Jesus, the gospel. The world needs to hear the gospel, the truth, because of the truth that will set them free. Stand to your feet. Give God praise if you're thankful for the Lord. Give God praise if you're thankful for the truth. If you love the truth, give God praise. If you don't love the truth, you probably won't love this church. So I don't blame you. But if you love the truth, I'll say it this way. If you don't love the truth, you probably ain't going to love God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want people to tell you what you want to hear, then you're probably not going to like God. Because this word right here, you start reading it, and it'll start reading you. It'll tell you to stop fornicating with that girlfriend and marry her. Been long enough. Been long enough. If you can't figure it out by now, you might as well move on. It'll confront you. It'll tell you that you need to stop lying. You stop talking all dirty and cussing. That you need to speak in ways that are edifying. And you need to stop gossiping, talking about people when they're not there. Anytime you're talking about somebody who's not there, that's gossip, unless you're in a position of authority over that person. You're a boss, you're a pastor, whatever. But you're talking about people when they're not there. And some of y'all do it like it's nothing. And it's gossip. It's a sin. This word will confront you. It's the truth. If you don't love the truth, then you're not going to love God. But if you love the truth, you'll be committed to it no matter what it costs. It may cost you some friends, it may cost you some popularity, it may cost you some family, but you have to be someone who loves the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. There's no other hope for this world but the truth of Jesus Christ. There's no other hope. There's no other Savior coming to save us. There's no other healer coming to heal us. He already has come. And His way is the only way. Amen.